The story of the Bible begins in a garden in Eden, where the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life. There, the Lord planted a garden filled with trees, not only good for food, but beautiful to look at, as a home for the man and his wife, Adam and Eve. A sparkling river brought water to the garden, and in its center were the tree of life and the fateful tree of the knowledge of good and evil, whose fruit our first ancestors were forbidden to eat. And the Lord God placed the man and the woman in the garden to work it and to take care of it. They were its caretakers, its gardeners. This spring here at Miller Church, we have been through a sermon series focused on the trees of Scripture, beginning with those two trees on the Bible's first pages and working our way all the way to the cross. So I was struck this week that John's Gospel, uniquely among the four accounts of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, makes the point to tell us that both Jesus' betrayal and arrest on Thursday night and his resurrection on Sunday morning take place in a garden. These sorts of details are rarely without meaning in John's Gospel. And I want to suggest this morning that John wants us to see this Easter Sunday morning, the day of Jesus' resurrection, as the dawn of a new day, the birth of a new humanity, the beginning of a new creation. And like the creation story in Genesis, on the Bible's first pages, it begins in a garden. As it turns out, new creation is a theme all throughout John's Gospel. The first words of Genesis are echoed in John's opening statement, in the beginning. The Bible begins, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. Reworking the familiar words from Genesis, John tells us, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ, the Word through whom God spoke the world into existence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And just as God brought light and life into being in the Bible's first chapter, John tells us, in Him, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all people. As the gospel unfolds, Jesus will go on to claim, I am the light of the world, as well as I am the bread of life, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, just, I am, the very name of God. As John puts it, he was with God in the beginning, and all things were made through him. John also seems to use patterns of seven throughout his gospel to echo the 7 days of creation. John's first chapter features a series of 7 days, culminating in the wedding at Cana, where Jesus turns the water into wine, which is itself a symbol of new creation, the coming kingdom of God. The events of this first chapter occur on a series of days until finally the miracle itself happens on the 3rd day. It's not hard to think of how Jesus was also raised on the 3rd day. John goes on to relate 7 signs, 7 miracles that reveal something about who Jesus is, each of which is an act of new creation. Turning water into wine, multiplying loaves and fish to feed a multitude, bringing new life to the disabled and dying, and finally raising Lazarus from the dead. When Jesus heals the man born blind, he spits on the ground and makes mud to put on the man's eyes, reenacting the way God formed Adam from the dust of the ground. And when Jesus walks on the water, it's just as the Spirit hovered over the waters at the dawn of creation. bringing order out of chaos. In 6 days, God created the world and then rested from his work. Multiple times in the gospel, Jesus refers to the work his Father has given him to do. My Father is always at work to this very day, he says. And I too am working. We must do the works of him who sent me. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Notably, in John's gospel, Jesus' last words from the cross are, "It is finished." That great work that his Father had given him to do, it is finished. And on the Sabbath, the seventh day, the day of rest, his body lays in the tomb. All four Gospels tell us that Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. But John places special emphasis on Jesus' appearance in both the morning and the evening of that first day, once again evoking the rhythms of Genesis 1. There was evening and morning, the first day. The early Christians would begin to call this the Lord's Day, or even an eighth day of creation. The Epistle of Barnabas, which is not included in our Bibles, but which dates to roughly the same time as John's Gospel, says, "I will make a beginning of the eighth day. That is the beginning of another world. For that reason also we keep the eighth day with joyfulness, the day also on which Jesus rose again from the dead." All of this is simply to say that John intends us to see the Easter garden, the garden of the empty tomb, as the garden of a new creation, a new beginning, in which everything that went wrong in that first garden is beginning to be set right, where the sin of Adam and Eve led from death, from life to death, and from joy to sorrow. Death itself was undone at the empty tomb. And Mary's tears turned to tears of joy at the sound of her master's voice. Where angels were left to guard the way into paradise after Adam and Eve were banished, angels now greet Mary at the empty tomb with words of comfort and hope. Where a man and a woman once inhabited the garden as its caretakers, a man and a woman now meet at the empty tomb, and she supposes him to be the gardener. John wants us to hear the truth in Mary's mistaken assumption. He is the gardener, the tender of a new creation. And as Adam once gave a name to his wife Eve, so Mary's moment of recognition is when Jesus speaks her name. Appearing to his disciples later that day, Jesus breathes on them as God had once breathed life into the man he had formed, and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit who gives life to a new creation, a new birth to those who would believe." The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here." In another of his letters, the letter to the church in Colossae, Paul, like John, pictures Jesus as both the author of the first creation and the beginning of a new one. "He is the firstborn over all creation," Paul writes, "in whom all things were created." And he's also the beginning of a new creation, the firstborn from among the dead. He's both the sustainer of the created world. In him all things hold together, Paul says. And the one who will reconcile all things to himself when he comes again. As Pastor Sharon explained a couple of weeks ago, the Bible ends as it began, with the Garden of Eden renewed and restored. In the closing chapters of Revelation, the same John who penned the gospel describes his vision of a new heaven and a new earth, whose centerpiece is the holy city, the new Jerusalem, which he sees coming down out of heaven from God. This eternal city is a gardened city, to borrow the words of Stephen Will the Predator. The river of the water of life flows down the middle of its great street, bringing water to the city, as a river once watered the Garden of Eden. Trees line its banks, descendants of the tree of life, and their fruit is available year-round, sustenance in every season. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. In this gardened city, there is no more curse. The legacy of Adam and Eve's sin finally laid to rest. In this new creation, there is no more sea, the great symbol of primeval chaos out of which God brought order and formed the dry land. In this gardened city, there is no more night, for the power of darkness has been broken and the glory of God gives it endless light. And in this new creation, there is no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. See, says the gardener, I am making all things new. This new creation, this renewal of all things, is the great hope that has dawned in the garden on Easter morning. Where death itself is defeated. And in the words of Sally Lloyd-Jones, everything sad is beginning to become untrue. The story of the Bible begins in a garden and it ends in a garden restored and renewed. And in the middle stands this garden of the empty tomb and the gardener, the firstborn from among the dead, who is making all things new. New life is available today in his name to all who would believe. He has made a new beginning, an end to sin and shame, and for anyone who desires to make a new start, there is no better time than today. I'd like to invite you to pray along with me as whether for the first time or for the thousandth time, we make a new beginning this Easter morning. Join me in prayer. God, your word says that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Lord, today I want to make a new beginning. I want to make a new beginning by putting my trust in you. To roll away that heavy stone from the parts of my life that I thought dead. So that I can know your love and forgiveness. Your healing where I've hurt and been hurt. Your reconciliation where relationships have been damaged or broken. Your peace where I've been anxious and afraid. I know it's not in my power to make a new start, but only in the power of Jesus, who put my sin and shame to death once and for all on the cross, and who rose victorious from the grave, so that I too could live a new life. Jesus, I trust in you. From this Easter morning forward, now and always. Amen.